It's lovely to be with you. It's almost 2 years, I should think, as I was last here. What with COVID and all the rest of it that's been going on. And I've managed to escape COVID at my age. And it's been really nice. But I haven't escaped visiting the National Health during that time. Cataracts. Well, this one needs to, I'll be holding up my notes, because if I don't hold up my notes, I won't be seeing it. I could be going on a bit, and I could be getting your Mother's Day lunch a little bit later than you expected. It could be burnt, so I'll keep to my notes with it in front of me. I've had new ears, I've got hearing aid. I was just telling somebody earlier on that I've got an app on my phone, which I can rise and lower the volume. And it's wonderful when I'm speaking to my wife, or she's speaking to me. She thinks I'm on the phone, but I'm turning her volume down. But also, and melanoma seems to have existed as well, and two operations. And I just have to say, the National Health is wonderful. But God is greater. And it's just nice to be able to come and share with you. Yeah. We all have these aches and pains, but when we're in the hollow of God's hand, he cares and takes care of us. I've been working on my family tree, and I've managed to place 600 names on my mother's side, because it's all on computer, back to the 1600s. And it's just remarkable to think, when looking at all these people down through the ages, that the mothers and the children have had love and care showered upon them and looked after them. I think of my mum today. Ah, she was wonderful. My brother and I, we lacked for nothing, because everything we had was covered with love. And my mum-in-law, I mention her because she's in part, plays a, her mother-in-law plays a part in today's message. What a lady. Three children brought up and covered with love. It's not the only thing I remember about her, but they do have these things that think, yeah, that. It was her pastry. No scales, cold hands, and her apple tart was to die for. Wonderful. And this is the sort of conjuring that goes on with mothers, and it's absolutely brilliant to have them. Now, I want to ask you if you know who Obed is. If you know an Obed, put your hand up. All right, there's always one in the class, isn't there? We'll get to him now and we'll just see about Obed. Okay, let's start the message this morning, because I want to think about Ruth. And actually, we could all go home, because we've all heard about it, and it was lovely to hear that. But I just want to ponder on Ruth, not as a mother, but growing up and getting to the point of marriage and motherhood. And the second chapter of Ruth, I'd love to just stand here and read the four, because it's just a lovely story. But the second chapter of Ruth and the first three verses we're going to be looking at this morning. I won't read them now, because you'll be hearing them later on. The first chapter shows Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, coming back to Bethlehem in Judea, in Judah. And throughout that story, we're reminded of believers that fail God and come back to him. What an introduction to a story. Ruth, however, is a picture of the unbeliever coming to God. Here is Ruth's start, her beginning. She's beginning her life in a new land. She's left her old life in Moab and is now in Bethlehem. The new life for her has started. She's just been saved from her old life and is getting to start with a new. And in these first days of Ruth's new life in a new land, we have the best illustration of spiritual growth. The whole of this second chapter unfolds the divine process of spiritual growth and enlightenment. I don't have to tell you, when we were physically born, we were babies that entered a life where there was a physical growth. And the same is true spiritually. When we're born again, we are spiritual babies into which a process of spiritual growth begins. A new baby must learn to walk and talk. A new Christian that enters into the Christian life, into which everything is new, spiritual growth is learning to talk and walk in a new life. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says this: like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And he's also had mind in spiritual growth in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, because this is what we read there. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, perseverance to godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Spiritual growth. And also in 1 John 2:13 we read this, John giving us the best description of spiritual growth throughout Scripture. Listen to this: I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. Here, John describes little children, young men, and fathers, each described at a different level of growth, of spiritual growth and maturity. We're little children, we grow into young men, and ultimately, fathers. I read the other day about some statistics speaking of the Americans. It estimated that 60% of the people in the States profess to going to church. Going deeper into the survey, it was discovered that out of 1,000 people, 60% of them 40% of them were spiritually dead. And from the 6,000 that were left, 200 would experience any deep spiritual growth in their Christian life. And this reminded me of a little story that I heard once about a little girl who fell out of bed one night, and her mother heard her crying, "Mummy, Mummy! I've fallen out of bed." Her mother picked her up, put her close to herself and asked, "Why did you fall out of bed?" The little girl replied, "I was sleeping too close to where I got in." And you see how relevant this is to me and you. Many believers are close when they get saved, but they don't grow. They just move on in the Christian life, and they need to grow. So let's look at these two or three verses here in Ruth and see how it pictures spiritual growth and Ruth's new life and new land. There's one thing here to see. the purpose of spiritual growth. Verse 1 reads this: Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, Elimelech, a man of standing, whose name was Boaz. This is the first introduction to Boaz in this book. And Boaz to me is like a picture of the Lord Jesus. And we'll see that as the morning progresses. In our story, Ruth becomes acquainted with Boaz. And we see how the relationship develops and deepens. He is introduced, and we see how Ruth is drawn into an intimate relationship with him. Now, contrary to what some people would say, the purpose of spiritual growth is not to make us Bible scholars. Some have the idea that spiritual growth is a good and growing knowledge of the Bible. That may be part of the process, yes. But if all your Bible study does is make you a theologian, it's missed the whole part of the Bible teaching. The purpose of the Bible is to reveal Christ. The person of Christ vitalizes and energizes every page of the Bible. Jesus is prophesied in the Old Testament, and he's presented in the New. The Old Testament anticipates Christ. The New Testament authenticates him. The Old Testament contains Christ. The New Testament explains him. You know, Jesus is the fullness, the fascination, the fiber, the fragrance, the focus of the Bible. He's found on every page, in every expression, in every symbol, in every prophecy, in every psalm, in every proverb. If you read the Bible and you miss Jesus, you most certainly will be stunted in spiritual growth. And for some, spiritual growth is getting ready for glory. Let me remind you that the light of heaven is the face of Jesus. The melody of heaven is the name of Jesus. The harmony of heaven is the praise of Jesus. The theme of heaven is the work of Jesus. The employment of heaven is the service of Jesus. The duration of heaven is eternity with him. And the fullness of heaven is Jesus himself. So let's be sure. The purpose of spiritual growth is developing a relationship with that man. With that man, Jesus. Keeping this in mind, let's get back to the text and see what is said about Boaz. First, we see him as a man of relations. Boaz is called a relative on her husband's side. Chapter 2, verse 1. Boaz was related to Naomi through marriage. You know, Jesus is our relative. He was the one in heaven who had a father but no mother, came to earth, was born of a mother but had no father. He became one of us and one for us by taking on human flesh. He became related to us. Secondly, we see him, Boaz, as a man of resources. Verse 2, chapter 1, we see him as a man of standing. He was a man of possessions. And Jesus, you know, is greater than the greatest. mightier than the mightiest, and wealthier than the wealthiest. It listed the other day rich people, 10 of the richest men in the world. Bill Gates was highly featured in them, and some of these Russians with these huge boats were listed there as well. Bill Gates was calculated his wealth as a 40-hour week is earning $923 million. And that translated into $2 million an hour, 38,000 a minute, 5,334 a heartbeat. But I have some news for those guys. For Mr. Gates and all the others, they are paupers compared to the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, we see Boaz as a man of reputation. We read his name was Boaz. Boaz means mighty man. He was a man that was respected. He was a man that had an honored name. Compare that with Jesus. God gave Jesus a name above every other name, and that at his name, every knee shall bow and every knee shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And this was the person that Ruth was going to get to know and love and marry. And from the time he was introduced, we see Ruth learning of him, falling in love with him, and living with him. This is the purpose of spiritual growth. Knowing Christ in a very close and intimate way. And our prayer should be, more about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. But let's move on and dwell on the second aspect of spiritual growth in this story. We've seen the purpose, and now we're looking at the pursuit of spiritual growth. In verse 2, we read this. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me go into the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. In those days, like our country, Israel had a welfare system. If you want to follow the legal side of that, just turn up to Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10, and all will be revealed. When the owner harvested his field and land of wheat, he was to leave the corners of the field. He wasn't to go back and pick them up. He wasn't to go back and pick that which had been missed or dropped. That was left for the poor. It was God's welfare system. It was not a handout, but it was something that someone who'd work had to claim it. They had to go into the fields. They had to gather what was left. And it was the law that provided them for the poor. And as we see Ruth gathering from these corners of this field, we see two things. We see that there's food there that sustained her. We see that Ruth was concerned about how they were going to eat. They had returned home penniless. They had to eat. If they didn't eat, they'd die. And the same is true spiritually. Involved in spiritual growth is the pursuit of spiritual food. The Christian must have a diet of God's word. A minister once asked a member of his congregation how she was getting on in the Christian life. Oh, very poorly. Very poorly, she said. My life is a disgrace to me and my church. The minister asked her, well, do you read your Bible every day? She answered, no, but I encourage it occasionally. A little baby was lying in a pram nearby. And the minister pointed to the baby and said, fed that baby 2 hours today, 1 in 6 hours tomorrow, and then let it go for a day. It'll feed itself. If you kept up that process, do you think it would live? No, she replied. I think the child would die under that treatment. And the minister ended the conversation by telling her that that was the way she was treating her soul, missing out completely on God's word. Here's some facts for you. Did you know that a bird can go without food for 9 days? A man, 12. A dog, 20. A turtle, 500. A snake, 800. A fish, 1,000. And insects, 1,200. A believer cannot go a day without feeding on his word in order to grow spiritually. And the second thing we see here is that the field that was nearby to supply her. Ruth had the desire to go into one of the nearby fields and glean corn. She knew about God's welfare system. And she asked Naomi, can I go and glean some corn? Let's just look at three types of fields perhaps we pass through that we need. The Word of God, it's one of God's fields. It helps to find spiritual food. Someone once said that the Bible is the loaf, every chapter a slice, and every verse a bite. We need to feed on it. Another corner of the field that we heal is the will of God. God told Elijah to go to the brook Cherith, and it was there that he'd be fed. And he was. Being in the will of God, asking him for his guidance and direction, is like finding manna on the ground each day, as God will lead us. Another corner, the work of God, is one of those fields that find spiritual feed. As we work in his field, we'll find barley to glean and wheat to harvest. Another corner, worship. It's one of his fields where we find food to grow spiritually. The psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. And as we worship him, we take in spiritual food. Ruth wanted food, and she wanted to work for it. Spiritual growth just doesn't happen. It's pursued. We must want to grow, and we must work to grow. And finally, the process of spiritual growth. So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. You know, I think this is one of the most exciting verses in Scripture. It's the happiness of happenings. She was looking in a field in which someone would favour her and allow her to glean, and ended up in Boaz's field. Well, as we see her coming to the field of Boaz, we're reminded of two things. We're reminded of divine guidance in life. From a human standpoint, it looked as if
she had run out of luck.
And by chance, she entered into a field by that man Boaz. Ruth had no idea that the field belonged to Boaz. It just happened to choose that field, and it all happened by chance. No. From a heavenly viewpoint, it was providence. Behind the scenes, God, who was in charge of her life, and he was seeing that all things worked for her good and his glory. I think many, when they get to heaven, will be surprised and see a lot of things that happened to them. Weren't breaks, but they were blessings. It was more than being fortunate on earth, but being favored in heaven. And as Ruth came to that field in Boaz's day, we're also reminded of a divine goal in life. What was God doing? He was arranging things so that Ruth and Boaz would come together. They'd fall in love. God is behind the scenes of life, arranging all things with the goal in mind of bringing us into a deeper relationship with him. The whole work of spiritual growth is a work of God. In our lives, allowing and arranging certain things for us to become closer to him. Paul says in Romans 8, and we know all things, God works for the good of those who love him. It's interesting, in our lives, how we can see the we don't realize it at the present, but when you look at in your life in retrospect, you can see, yeah, God had his hand on me there. He guided me here. It's him, not me. And we see Ruth getting on and going on with a new start in life, a new life in a new land. And we too, if we belong to Christ, must continue to feed on his word if we continue to grow in him. And if we're outside of Christ, make a new start like Ruth, drinking the milk of his word, grow and come to love a Savior who loved you. Yeah, make a fresh start. That's what Ruth did. And in chapter 4 of Ruth, if you go to the end, you come across Obed. Obed is in the family tree because he was the result of Ruth and Boaz. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David, as we heard this morning. And then if you go to the first chapter of Matthew and see this in a bit more detail, we get the full genealogy leading to our Savior, Jesus. What a story. What a lady. What a growth. May we learn from it. Amen. It's fine. It's okay. We're going to sing. But I just felt it right that we spend just a moment in silence with one particular person, purpose in mind, with heads bowed, thinking and pondering over the deliberate cruelty and violence of men in Ukraine. I've been reduced to tears watching the news. especially watching children, separated from their mums, walking miles to escape danger, and pushchairs in a city place depicting the death of those little babies, each one representing a child killed. So on this Mother's Day, just let's spend a moment in quietness, and I'll close by a prayer. Let's pray. Father, grant peace and love in a place where hatred and evil exists. Be with those who love you. Keep them in the hollow of your hand. Surround them with your love.